Welcome to the Enterprise Portal Development Webinar. My name is Divakar. I'm a Program Manager on Enterprise Portal. So this is the re-recording of the webinar that I did on 20th of April. I had two webinars, one for the EMEA folks and one for North America. I had some issues with recording the earlier webinar, so I'm just re-recording these. And I'll upload these to the EP team blog, as well as I'll have them available on Channel 9. So today's webinar is basically, you know, mainly focused around the developer experience on Enterprise Portal. What we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a couple of slides that I've put together, which are again, you know, developer experience focused, and then we'll jump into the actual demos. I have about six demos that I want to cover, and the overall webinar would go for close to 90 minutes. So with that, let's get started. So what's there for a developer in terms of, you know, the experience that he gets when he starts working on Enterprise Portal? As I think, you know, even before I get into the developer experience, let me step back and walk you through the main change that we brought with AX 2009. People who have already worked on AX4 and who have worked on AX 2009 would appreciate the change that we brought with AX 2009. What we did was we moved the whole presentation layer out of MorphX and built that into Visual Studio and ASP.NET. Now, what that gives you is not only you know, access to all the standard ASP.NET controls, but it opens up the whole world of ASP.NET to the Enterprise Portal application developers. You know, you could use the .NET libraries or the .NET controls or even third-party controls. So For a developer, what we did was we provided an efficient way to create rich web applications using standard Microsoft development tools, programming language, and design patterns. You know, the tools that I'm talking of are basically the Visual Studio as the development environment, ASP.NET and C# as the languages for building your applications. No longer are you restrained within the HTML generation that the old frameworks provided. Now you have access to the whole ASP.NET way of building your applications. To support rapid application development, what we also did with AX 2009 was come out with a rich set of controls, you know, that are going to be shipped out of box. We have controls like lists, forms, lookups, toolbar controls that allow you to do basic tasks on Enterprise Portal. Plus, you also now have access to the rich set of ASP.NET controls. In fact, you know, when I show you the demos that I've put together, you'd see that it's not only easy to use the out-of-box controls, but it's also seamless to go ahead and use any standard ASP.NET control. Plus, we also have shipped about 8 different web parts that you can use on SharePoint when you're building your Enterprise Portal functionality. Now, you're not limited, again, you're not limited to the 8 web parts that we ship. You can always go ahead and use any of the other standard SharePoint web parts or, for that matter, third-party web parts. So let's look at the architecture for a while. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through each and every component so that, you know, you can understand the Enterprise Portal architecture much thoroughly. You know, we are not going to look at it at one instance, but we'll try to parse it, you know, step by step. So at the top right corner, what you have is you have different types of users that would access Enterprise Portal. You know, you have employees accessing Enterprise Portal over intranet. You have customers and vendors accessing it over the extranet, or even you have anonymous users that may come over the internet-facing site. We support both IE6 and IE7, as well as Firefox 2.0 as the browsers. Once the user logs on, what he's looking at, he's looking at the SharePoint site, which is built on top of WSS3, that is Windows SharePoint Services 3.0, or MOS 2007, that is Microsoft Office SharePoint Service 2007. Now, once you log on to Enterprise Portal, what you have is you have access to a bunch of web parts. Now, these could be out-of-box web parts like toolbar, the worklist, the queues, or the user control, or the reports web part. Or you could even go ahead and build your functionality using the standard SharePoint web parts or third-party web parts. So again, the point that I'm trying to stress is there is no limitation in terms of what you can use on Enterprise Portal. You could use out-of-box controls, or you could use standard or third-party controls. The two web parts that we're going to focus today are the user control and the reports web part. So let's look at what the user control web part is. As the name suggests, the user control web part is a web part that would allow you to host any standard ASP.NET user control. Now, what is a user control? Now, before I jump into user control, let me take a step back and walk you through the developer scenario. As a developer, when you start customizing enterprise portal, there are three key aspects or three key steps that you take. The first one, if you take a look at the top left corner, you would first go to Morphex and then go do your business logic, business objects, and data modeling. And you would create your data model, you would create your data sets, you would create your table, you would go to X++, create your classes and everything. So that you would still go ahead and do it in Morphex because that's the right place for doing those. Once you have your data modeling and business logic in place, then you would go to Visual Studio and then create a user control. That's step number two. Once you have your user control done, then you'll go to SharePoint and create your page and then host the user control in a user control web part. Now let's look at the user control. As a definition, a standard ASP.NET user control is a collection of UI controls. Now those UI controls could be out-of-box controls that we ship, like lookup, grid, form, or pop-up, or any other controls, or you could even use the standard ASP.NET controls or third-party controls. So when I do my demos, I'll show you how you could easily use the out-of-box grid control to show a customer listing, or you could use the standard ASP.NET chart control to show a chart, or you could even use a third-party Silverlight control to do the same thing. At the base of all this is the AX data source control. Now, AX data source control, what it allows you to do is it allows you to access all the metadata and data. The business.NET connector exposes metadata and data in form of APIs. These APIs are then consumed by the AX data source control, which provides access to data and metadata to all the UI controls. Now, just to talk about the AX data source a little more, when we moved away from Morphex into ASP.NET, we looked at the data binding story that ASP.NET had. And when I talk about the guiding principles, one of the guiding principles was that we should not limit the enterprise portal developer to a certain set of controls. We wanted to expose him to each and every control that's available out there. Now, with that goal in mind, we had to build our data binding story on top of ASP.NET data binding story. Now, what we did was, the way ASP.NET has a data source, we have an AX data source control. The way the ASP.NET has a bound field, we have an AX bound field control. So as you see, we have parity between the data binding story between ASP.NET as well as Dynamics AX. So any control that was built with ASP.NET in mind now can work with Dynamics AX as well. The other web part is the reports web part. Now, the reports web part is very similar to the user control web part in the sense that the report web part allows you to host any report that was built using SQL reporting services. So if you have a report that was built in reporting services, you could just host it on Enterprise Portal. Now, again, since the focus is more on Enterprise Portal development, I'm not going to look at the reporting aspect, but maybe we could do a reporting webinar soon. So let's look at the guiding principles that we had when it came to Enterprise Portal architecture. When we started designing AX 2009, the first principle that we had in mind was that we should have a programming model which is very similar to that of Dynamics AX 2009 client. Now, we didn't want to have the AX developer have a steep learning curve when it comes to building enterprise portal applications. In fact, when I show you the demos, you would see that the artifacts that we built in AOT for enterprise portal are very similar to that of their counterparts in client. Like dataset is very similar to a form data source. A web menu is very similar to a menu item. So if you see, basically these components go hand in hand, and once you have learned one, it's easy to uptake the other one. The second guiding principle we had was to expose all the rich AX metadata that we have. AX is basically a rich metadata application. We wanted to expose all that metadata in Enterprise Portal directly within Visual Studio. We have gone ahead and integrated Visual Studio to work with Dynamics AX, and we have built all our bound field and bound field designers so that you could access all the metadata, the tables and the fields, everything that you have defined in AOT. The third or one of the most important one was, as I said, was to provide the Enterprise Portal application developer access to the full flexibility of ASP.NET. and we didn't want it to tie the enterprise portal developer in a certain design pattern or even in a certain implementation pattern. Now, we wanted to keep it as flexible as possible so that you could use any control out there and build any functionality on top of enterprise portal. We also wanted to continue using SharePoint as a personalization story. And with AX4, we built on top of SharePoint. And with AX2009, now each and every user can go ahead and create his or her own view of the enterprise portal page. So you, as a user, I could go and add new content onto a page. I could add a new web part onto a page. And any changes that I make to a page are localized to me. The last but not the least that I've listed up here is the, you know, as I walked through during the architecture, there are three key aspects when it comes to customization. Going to AOT or Morphix to do your data modeling, going to Visual Studio to create your user controls, and going to SharePoint to create your pages. Now, no matter where you do these, we wanted to unify all of these artifacts into a single AOT store. Now, the reason for that is that it not only helps you with maintainability because everything is at a single location, it also allows you to have a single security model that can be applied to client as well as enterprise portal. Since everything sits into AOT, now you can have the same security model applied for client artifacts as well as enterprise portal artifacts. So people, you know, ask, why did we move away from the old X++-based framework? What are the advantages I'm going to get with the new ASP.NET-based framework? The biggest advantage that you're going to have with the biggest advantage you're going to have with the ASP.NET based framework is the unlimited UI capabilities. You know, I just want to stress this point saying that, you know, or even make a bold statement saying that if you can build a UI functionality or if you can build a functionality on a standard ASP.NET web application, you should be able to do that on enterprise portal. There's no stopping you from using any controls out there. Plus, we also went ahead and built built Ajax into our framework itself. So if you use our web part to host your user controls, you don't have to worry about, you know, how the interaction is going to happen. Everything is going to happen underneath, and you'd get all the full benefits of using Ajax onto your enterprise portal site. We made it easy to extend and use third-party controls. In fact, that's one of my demos today. With the new framework, we also allow you to now do managed code development. With the older framework, you're limited to do with X++ even for your UI rendering. Now you could now use ASP.NET and C# to do your UI rendering and even do some business logic in C#. We did a lot of performance and scalability improvements with AX2009. In fact, we have a benchmark document that, you know, we published on the partner source, so you can take a look at that and you'd see that, you know, I think we have about 11,000 users to 58,000 expense entry lines in an hour. So that was a major performance improvement that we did with AX2009. So what are the advantages over a standard or a traditional ASP.NET solution? The biggest that you get with Enterprise Portal is that the data binding and everything is built into the framework itself. So you don't have to worry about, you know, how you're going to do data binding outside of Enterprise Portal. We also brought in native AX support, such as field groups. Now, people who have already worked on AX would understand that a field group is an AX-specific construct. It's not available in ASP.NET. But when you're building your application enterprise portal, now you have access to the field group construct as well. And in fact, I'll show you how you could use a field group in enterprise portal. At design time, it would be a single field on your markup. But at runtime, it would basically explode into multiple fields, and then, you know, you would be able to get all the benefits that field group has. We do all the session and context management for you when you're building your application enterprise portal. Your formatting and validations that you have on EDTs and table level are basically, you know, honored when you're using enterprise portal. So I've also put a couple of useful links up here. You know, the first one is to a quick start, EP quick starts. I think we have about 8 to 10 different code samples that we have on MSDN. So you can just take a look at those code samples. So I think they came in both PDF as well as XPS format. So you could just download and look at the samples that we have put together. But if you're more in terms of, you know, you want to look at videos rather than, you know, going through a PDF file, you can take a look at the EP screencasts. I think we have, again, about 8 to 10 different screencasts that we have put together. We have two blogs. The first one is the Solutions Monkey blog. This is a blog that me, Meenakshi Sundaram, manages. And this is one of the most visited blogs on AX. So, you know, I would urge each and every one of you to take a look at this blog. If you have any questions, I'm sure, you know, you'll find your answers on this blog. We also have a blog from the EP team blog. This is where, you know, the EP dev members basically come in and participate, and they also add a few good technical insights onto Enterprise Portal. We have the SDK document published on MSDN. We also have a Channel 9 video that the EP dev team along with me did, I think, last year, where they come in and talk about the Enterprise Portal architecture in more detail than what I have covered today. I think May has also uploaded his EP deployment webinar on Channel 9, so you could just search for that. And once I'm through this recording, and I'll also upload this presentation or webinar on the Channel 9 video as well. We also have EP training and benchmark published on to the partner source. So what do we have in terms of demos? So I'm going to do 6 demos today. The first demo is where I'm going to showcase, you know, the rapid application development on Enterprise Portal, where you could quickly build a customer list page without writing a single line of code. Second is where I'm going to do some custom filtering. Enterprise Portal list pages or grid has an out-of-box support for filtering, but I'll show you how you could easily do a custom filtering on a list page. Third is where I'll showcase now how you can use a standard ASP.NET control like a template field along with AX. And then I'll also show you how you could basically change the way Enterprise Portal renders a field using a custom bound field. The fourth demo is going to be where we're going to see how you can use a standard ASP.NET chart control and tie it to AX. Fifth, we'll take it a step further and then try to see how we can use Silverlight with Enterprise Portal. And last, we'll see how easily you can quickly build an edit form on Enterprise Portal. So I do have a couple of asks for you. I need some feedback from you guys. Basically, what type of applications you are building or planning to build on Enterprise Portal. If you have any topics that you would like me to cover in terms of webinars or blogs or code sample, do let me know. You can send me your name and email at my Microsoft address. It's divakarb@microsoft.com, and then I'll try to respond to your emails. With that, let's get to the demos. What I'm going to do is I'm going to switch to the machine that I've put together. So let me log into it. So as I said, there are three aspects when it comes to building Enterprise Portal or applications on Enterprise Portal. One, AOT or Morphix, where you would go and do your data modeling and business logic. Visual Studio, where you'd go and create your user control, and SharePoint, where you'd go and create your page. So let's start with AOT. What I'm going to do is, before I jump into the first demo, I'm going to show you what are the nodes that we have added, which are Enterprise Portal specific. So let me open AOT. The first node is the datasets node. As I said, the datasets node is very similar or structurally, and this ties into the guiding principle we had around a programming model, which is very similar to client. So if you look at form data source, you have methods, data sources, and design. If you look at a dataset, you have a similar structure, methods, data sources. The only missing part out here is the design. The reason we don't have design here is because we moved the design out of Morphix into Visual Studio. So you would still go ahead and create your data sets in a similar, the way you create your form data sources. And you just do your design outside of Morphix. So that's your first node. The next node is web. Under these, you have web menus and web menu items. So these are again very similar to the menu items and menus in client. Then you have the web content managed, where you have all your user controls. We make a link into this. And then you have under files, web files, you have the web control. So here is where you actually have your user control saved. So as you see, no matter where you go and create your controls, everything goes and sits into AOT. The last node I'm going to show you is the page definition node. Here is where all your SharePoint pages would be saved. So with that, let's get started with the first demo. The first demo is where we're going to show customer listing onto Enterprise Portal without writing a single line of code. To do that, the first step is to go and do your data modeling. In this case, I'm just going to create a new data set. Let me name it EP Dev Webinar. That's EP Development Webinar. I'm going to add one data source to it. So let me go and add a new data source. Name it Custable. I'm going to use Custable, the table name. Let me save this. So that's it. So I've done my data modeling part. Let me go back to the Enterprise Portal, or sorry, to the Visual Studio. So what I'm going to do is, to assist you in building user controls, we provided you two samples or two templates in Visual Studio. The first one is your website template. So when you say new website, you would see that there's a template called a Dynamics AX Web Project. Now what this does is that this brings in all the required references so that you can start you creating your user controls. So let's name it Dev Webinar. Or let me call it EP Dev Webinar, right? So we have EP Dev Webinar. Or I think I already created it, so let me open the existing one. So I had already created that. So again, you know, if you see, there's nothing in here, and I have an empty control that I'm going to use, not going to use. To show you how you can create a new user control, let me go ahead and add a new user control. So I'm going to say add new item. I'm again going to select Dynamics AX user control, and let me name it EP Dev Webinar UC1 User Control 1. The first thing normally I do when I add a user control to a solution is to go and add it to AOT. So at times when you would see that the menu items are missing, what you can do is you can just close out your Visual Studio solution and reopen it. And let me go ahead and do an add to AOT. So here's a reference. You know, basically, what we have done with Visual Studio is we have not only provided you with templates, but we have also integrated Visual Studio with AX. So just to add to AOT. Now what it's going to do is it's going to go back and save the user control to AOT. So let's see what it did. Let's go back to AOT for a while. Let me close the AOT, reopen the AOT. And the web, if you look at web files, web controls, let me refresh this. You'd see that there's something called an EP Dev Webinar UC1. So this is the user control that I just created in Visual Studio and said add to AOT. What it did was it not only created an entry under web controls, but it also created an entry under web content managed. So let me refresh this. You have this. So the managed web content item is one that we use when we connect a web part to a user control. So this is the entry that we would basically use when we are connecting it to a web part to a user control. Plus, what it also did was it also deployed the user control to my development site. So we'll see how that comes into picture. Let's go back to user control. Let's go to the design mode. As we said, the first thing that you would do when you start creating a user control is add an AX data source, because AX data source is your data binding layer. So let's bring an AX data source onto a form and then connect it to the new data source, data set that we created. We named it EP. Let me do a refresh schema so that it brings all the data sets down. And then I'm going to use EP Dev Webinar. EP Dev Webinar. So basically what I've done now is I've connected my data source to the AX dataset. So let's save this control. Since we want to show the customer listing, I need to have AX grid view. So let's drop an AX grid view and then connect this to the AX data source. basically what it's going to allow me to do is basically go and edit columns. If you look at it, this is very similar to the standard ASP.NET bound field designer. You know, we have just gone ahead and extended the bound field designer so that you could have AX specific construct shown here as well. So for the demo, for the initial demo, I'm just going to pick three fields: account num, name, and phone. Let's save this. That's it. So what I've done is I've created the data set. That was my data modeling. I've created a user control. Now let's go ahead and create a new page and then see how that renders into Enterprise Portal. So I'm going to go to my site. I'm going to create a new page. To create a new page, I'm just going to pick a web part page, and I'm going to name it, say, webinar or EP dev webinar page 1. I'm going to drop it into Enterprise Portal Document Library. Let's overwrite if it already exists, and then let's create one. What SharePoint did was it created a new page and provided me with a design surface. I'm going to add a new web part. And since we're going to host a user control, I need to use Dynamics User Control Web Part. So let me pick that. Let's go to the Modify Share Web Part Properties and then select the new web part that we had. So we created something called EP Dev Webinar UC1. So as you see, the moment I hit OK and if everything has worked fine, you'd see that the customer listing is shown onto my Enterprise Portal page. Now, the moment you saved your user control from Visual Studio, so it not only saved the user control to your AOT, but it also deployed it to your development website. And I'm now able to use the user control onto my Enterprise Portal page to show a customer listing. So without writing a single line of code, I was able to bring customer listing onto my Enterprise Portal page, and it also allows me default paging, sorting, and everything that a normal grid would provide you. In addition to that, Enterprise Portal AX Grid View also allows you to do some filtering on top of it. Suppose I want to filter saying that get me all customers, or get me customer account whose value is 4002, and say apply. So this is your out-of-box filtering experience. Suppose if you were to do a custom filtering, so that's my demo 2. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a standard ASP.NET control or a drop-down, and then have a UI component that would say, okay, show all customers or show my customers. So basically what I'm trying to say is, I want to provide users ability to see all their customers or all customers the company has. To support that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new field to this grid. So let's go back to the grid. Let's say edit columns and add a field called as employee ID. And then let's see how that renders on our page. So again, as I save, the control is saved back to AOT. It's deployed to my development site. So if I do a refresh, I should see an employee ID column. You see that now I have an employee. I have a user relation that I've set in AX for myself, where I am an AJE employee on Dynamics AX. So what I want to do is I want to have a drop down up here that says show all customers. It should show all customers. When I say show my customers, it should only list customers where employee ID is set to AJE. In this case, it should only show me 4001, 4001, 4007, and 4008. So let's see now how easily you could do this. To do this, what you need to do is you need to have two methods that we need to add on Dynamics AX. So let's go to the Morphix environment. Let's go to the dataset. Open the new dataset that we created. We're going to add two new methods at the dataset level. What I want to do is I'm going to copy the code that I already have so that I don't have to write, but I'll explain you what the methods are. So let's create a new method. We're going to call it all customers. Let's save it to make sure there are no compilation errors. That's good. What this does is that it gets the current data source and clears all ranges that I have on this. If there are any ranges, it will just clear it so that I see all customers. Let's create a new method and call it my customers. Now what this is doing is basically doing the same thing. It gets the data source, it clears any existing ranges and adds a new one. I'm adding a new range on the field called as employee ID, and the value I'm setting is current employee ID. So what basically this the sysquery range util class does is that it has a method called as current employee ID, which will give me an employee ID for the logged in user, and then I just set it and then requery the data set. So let's save this. Let's go back to Visual Studio. And then just do a refresh schema so that you know the new data set is being brought down. Let me add the fields back. You don't have to do this, but let me get the ID. Okay, so now that we have this, let's go to the source and add a ASP.NET dropdown. I'm just going to place the ASP.NET dropdown field out here. Let's add a control. And to make it more explicit, I'm just going to say show. I'm going to add some static text, customers. You'll see what I'm trying to do here. Let's go to design mode. Let's go to the properties. And then add two items to this collection. The first one is going to be all. And by default, I'm going to keep it selected. I'm going to add one more called as my. I'm going to leave it as false on the selected. So what it means is show all customers or show my customers. Plus, I also want to do a postback. So I'm going to say auto postback equals to true so that an event is fired every time I make a change. And now I'm going to write an event. So let's go to the event section and do a selected index changed event. So as you see, I'm just using the standard ASP.NET controls and events in here. So let's go and add a new event. Now let me first copy the using statement so that I can use AX methods. I'll walk you through what the code does. The code is pretty simple. I switch on the selected value. If the value is my, what I do is I get the current data set from the data source. I get the runtime version of it and then call a method called myCustomers on the data set. If it is all, I call the method called as allCustomers. So let's save this. Let's go back to our control. And before you do a refresh, what you need to do is, because now you've added two new methods on the data set, you need to go and refresh your AOD. This is required because you are working in a dev environment where you are constantly changing your data set. To reflect that data set onto Enterprise Portal, you need to do a refresh AOD. From a performance point of view, what we did was we are caching all the data set. Whenever you access a data set, we cache it onto the web server so that we don't have to go back to the AOS every time. But in a dev environment, because it is cached, you need to clear the cache so that it reflects on Enterprise Portal. So now that we have refreshed our cache, let's do a refresh page. And then let's see my. Let me go back and reload the page. Enterprise Portal. Now you'd see that the moment I change the value of the dropdown to my, I have a limited or I have a filtered down list which shows that only my customers. If I go and pick all, it would give me all customers. So as you see, it's easy to connect an ASP.NET or standard ASP.NET control to Dynamics AX and then call methods into call X++ method directly from Visual Studio. So we achieved three things out here. One, I showed you how you could basically do custom filtering, how you can tie a standard ASP.NET control to AX, and then how you can call X++ method from C#. So that was my demo number two. Demo number three is where I'm going to show you how you can use a standard ASP.NET control like template field. Now, to help me with the demo, let me go ahead and add one more field, and then I explain what that field is going to do. Let's go to the grid. Let's add one more column, and this time I'm going to add called as payment term ID. I'm going to add a field called as payment term ID. Now let's see what this field does. Let's go ahead and refresh our page. Basically what it does is that it gives me the payment terms for each and every customer. You know, either it could be monthly or, you know, once in 15 months, once in 30 months, or whatever the case is, right? Now one of the requirements, or one of the UI requirements I have, is instead of, you know, showing M15 and M30, I want to have some icons or images that represent that value. One could do that easily with an ASP.NET application where you could just use a template field and then, you know, tie that to the data, and then, you know, you could switch on to images. Well, you could do the same thing with Enterprise Portal. Let me show you now how you could do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the bound field designer. One of the easiest ways to convert a bound field to a template field is to go to the bound field designer, select the field, and there is something called as convert to template field. Just click on this, and then I'll show you what that does. If you go to the source, now you'd see that initially you had a bound field. The structure is very similar. It says Dynamics AX bound field. What's the field it's going to connect to? What's the data set it's going to connect to? The data set view and the sort expression. But when you convert it to a template field, it has two components into it. The first one is the edit item template. So this is the template ASP.NET would use when it's showing the grid in edit mode. This is the template when it's going to do a view only mode. Since a grid is going to be in view only mode, let's concentrate on this one. So let me save this and still show you how it renders. There's not going to be any difference in the way the grid is going to be rendered. It's still going to be rendered as a label M, M50 or M30. Let's see how we can change this to use an image. Now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to copy this and again explain what this is and replace this label with this value. I'll explain what these are. Again, as you see, I'm just using ASP.NET image or ASP label. So these are standard ASP controls that I'm using. What I'm doing in the edit or item template is I'm going to have two controls, an image control and a label control. And then I'm going to control the visibility based on the value. Again, the syntax is the same as you would use in a standard ASP.NET application. So I'm just going to use the data pointer expression. And if the value is M, I'm going to set the image visibility equals to true. I'm going to do exactly opposite on the label. If the value is not equal to M, I'm going to set it equals to true. So that, you know, it's going to be at least only one is going to be visible at any given instance. So let's save this and see how this renders. Now you have. So now, you know, what we did was we quickly changed the way the grid is going to render values for M. You know, now I've just done it for M, but you could basically take this demo a step further and do it for M30, M15, or all other values. And of course, there is an easier other ways to do it as well. But I just wanted to showcase now how you could use an ASP.NET template field to do it. Let's take this demo a step further. You know, since we are working on the UI representation of the UI elements, let's talk of a date control. Now, how a date control is shown on Enterprise Portal. To do this, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to add a field, and I'm also going to change the mode of this grid to edit. So I'm going to say, first thing I'm going to do is allow edit equals to true. Let's say allow edit equals to true so that the grid is always displayed in edit mode. I want to add one more field so that I can show you dates. So let's go to the edit columns and add a new field called as appreciation date. Now let's save this. Let's see the default representation of a date control in Enterprise Portal. You'd see that Enterprise Portal gives you a date picker that would allow you to pick any date. So let's say I want to set 14 December 2009 as the appreciation date. Now this is the default way in which a date field is rendered in Enterprise Portal. But what if you want to take the UI to a step further and, you know, your users have asked to have three drop downs, one for day of the month, one for the month, and one for the year. You know, how would you do it? So the most easiest way, you know, if you want still go, you still want to honor all the EDT settings and everything that you already done, what you would do is you should go ahead and derive your bound field from our bound field control. So what you would do is you would basically create a new bound field and then derive it on top of AX bound field and then add your own UI representation to it. So let me know, let me show you know what I have done. Of course, and I'm not going to walk you through the actual creating the bound field, but I'll show you know how the new bound field will look like. To do this, I need to do a couple of things. The first thing is I need to register the new assembly that I created. Again, this assembly just has a single my version of the bound field. So let me add the registry entry. I'll just tell you what it is. I'm just using a new assembly called as AX sample bound field. It has one class that has that derives from the AX bound field, and I have added my own UI representation to it. And I'm just going to use the tag prefix as AX sample. Let me copy the new template field or bound field. So if you look at it structurally, they are the same. Standard bound field, my sample bound field, because you know, basically I've just derived on top of the AX bound field. Both of them, you know, talk to the same field, same data set view, and have the same sort of expression. But when I render these on Enterprise Portal, you'd see that you know there are two different UI representations of the date. The standard one or the default one shows a date picker that allows you to pick a date. The one on the right hand side is basically the new representation that I have built. You know, this one allows you to pick a month, this one allows you to pick a date, and this one allows you to pick a year. And when you save this, you would see that you know the dates basically get changed. So it's pretty easy. It's not only you know easy to use the out-of-box controls that we have or out-of-box bound fields that we have, but it's pretty easy to go ahead and you know change the representation or the UI representation of each and every bound field that we have. So that was demo 3 for you. Now that you know we've looked at how you could use standard controls, standard ASP.NET controls, and all. Let's take the demo a step further. What I'm going to do now is basically showcase the web associations that we built with AX 2009. And when I say web associations, what it means is how you can connect two web parts on a page and make them talk to one another. So let's see how you could do that. So the next demo is where we need a new user control. So let me go ahead and add a new user control. Just to stick to the naming convention, I'm going to call it AP Dev Webinar UC2. Again, let's go and add it to our AOT. To do this, I need to change the data set. I need to add a couple of methods on the data source. So let's go ahead and add those methods first. Let's go to AOT. Under the data source, I'm going to add two new methods. Again, and I'm going to copy the code. I'm going to add two new display methods. So let's go ahead and add new method. Let's save it. I'll walk you through what these are. So basically what I want to do is on a connected web part, whenever I select a customer on my customer list, I want to show the open and the total orders for each and every customer. So this method, what it's going to do is it's going to take in the current employee record. It's going to check against the sales table. It's going to map the invoice account and the account number of the current customer record. And it's going to take count all back orders, delivered, and invoice orders. Basically, I just want to have total orders. So let's save this. Let's create one more method. This is very similar to the previous one. The only difference being that you know this one doesn't count the invoice runs because we want to do open orders. So I say you know open sales orders. It says again it maps invoice account to account num, and only captures the back orders and delivered, not the invoice runs. So let's save this. Again, you know, we'll do a refresh of AOD. And then let's go ahead and start working with our user control. As usual, you know, since we are going to pull data out of AX, I need to have an AX data source. Let me go ahead and add an AXT.SS control. We're going to tie it to the same data set that we created. We call it AP Dev Webinar. So let's use that. Let's do a refresh schema so that I get all the new methods that I added. Because you do an refresh AOD for the web server, but for Visual Studio, the newly created methods would come in when you do a refresh schema on the data set. Now that we have done this, let's go ahead and add an AX form. And I'm going to add an AX group. I'm going to connect the form to the newly created data source. Let's set it to data source. I also need to set the members to current, and I also need to set the key names. Let me add the data key names and save it. I think I changed something, so let me go back. Okay. So let me save this. Let's look at the group. For the group, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a couple of fields into the group. So the first field I'm going to add is open sales orders. And then I'm going to add the total sales orders. I'm also going to set the header text so that it's more readable. Let me call it open orders and total orders. Let's save it. So now what I've done is I've created a form control, I've added a group control, and then I've added two fields to it. Let's make sure that the fields have come in. So I've been having this issue on my environment where the fields don't flow through the AX group thing. So let me copy the fields. I already have those with me. What I have here is same thing. We added open sales orders, we named it open orders, we added open total orders, and then we named it total orders. So let's save this. We have already added the user control to AOT. Let's go to our page and then edit the page so that we can add a new web part to it. Let's add a web part. Again, since we're using a user control, we need a Dynamics user control web part. Now let's select EP Dev Webinar UCU2. I'm not going to set the connections as of yet. I just want to show you how that's going to look like. So if I go out of the exit mode, you'd see that the orders web part is not showing the total orders and the open orders. But as I change my selection in here, the values don't change because those two web parts are not yet connected. So let's see how I can connect these two web parts so that the record context is being passed from this web part onto the other web part. First thing you would do is you would go to the modified shared web part properties. And there's a property called as web part role. Now it has three values, none, provider, and consumer. None means that the web part is not going to participate in any connections. Provider means that the web part that is set as provider is going to provide the context. Consumer means that the web part that is set as consumer is going to consume the context. In this case, our orders web part is going to take context from the list web part. So let's set it as consumer. I need to go and set the list as the provider. Let's apply this. Plus, you also need to tell the framework which provider is going to pass context to which consumer. The reason we did this was because we wanted to have allow EP app developers the ability to have multiple providers and multiple consumers. We didn't want to tie you into a single pattern where you said you have one provider on a page, you could only have one provider and multiple consumers. We wanted to have multiple consumers to a multiple provider scenario. So as I change my selection in here, you'd see that the values up here are getting updated. There are no page refreshes because we have already built in the AJAX support onto our controls. And now, as I change my selection, the control on its own basically gets updated. So this looks fine, and I have set the connections and all. What if I want to do some graphs or charts? I don't want to show the open and total orders in textual format, but I want to do a chart. Let's see how you could do that. To do this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the design surface of this, and I'm going to add a chart control. As part of Microsoft Dynamics, ASP.NET 3.5 framework, Microsoft has start shipping a chart control. So basically, I can just drag and drop it here. And then connect it to the same data source that I created. So now basically, this is connected to my data source. Again, as you see, the chart control was not built with AX in mind. It was built with the standard ASP.NET data binding in mind. But since our data binding store is built on top of ASP.NET, you can connect any standard ASP.NET control that understands ASP.NET's data binding to Dynamics AX. So now that we have connected this, let's go ahead and create the chart series that we need. So I need two series. So the first one, I'm going to name it as, let's say, total orders. And I'm going to set the Y value to total orders. So as you see, I'm able to access Dynamics AX data methods and properties and fields that are added in AOT directly in Visual Studio with any of the standard or third-party controls as well. So let's add one more. Let's call this guy open orders. Let's set the Y value member to open sales orders. So I've created two series. Now I need to go and change the, I'm going to do it as a 3D chart. So let's go ahead and do a 3D chart. Let's say enable 3D. So now I'm going to show my chart as a 3D chart. I also want to add some legends. So let's go ahead and create a new legend collection. What I want to do is I want to set the style as row, so it's shown as row. And then I'm going to dock it to the bottom so that I have enough space to show my chart. So let me choose this way, docking. I'm going to do it to bottom. That's it. So basically what I've done now is I've basically connected my standard chart control to Dynamics AX. So one thing that I forgot to do was to set the data member, because it needs to work on the current record. So I'm just going to set it to current record. So let's save this. Let's try and do a refresh and see how that renders on Enterprise Portal. There you have. So as I change my selection, now you'd see that not only the values up here are updating, but even my chart control is updating. So as you see, it's not only easy to use a standard ASP.NET control, but it's also easy to now connect it to Dynamics AX data. You know, because to do a chart control, I was not even required to write a single line of code. You know, I had already written my methods in X++. I was directly able to consume those display methods into any standard ASP.NET control. So that was demo number 4. Let's try to take it a notch further. And how about using Silverlight on Enterprise Portal? I'm sure that, you know, with Silverlight coming out, Silverlight 2.0 came out a couple of months back. I'm sure a lot of customers and partners are, you know, itching to use Silverlight on Enterprise Portal. In fact, I've already seen one really good example of using Silverlight to doing role centers and all today morning itself. So I just wanted to showcase, you know, how you could do that on Enterprise Portal. So let's see now how we can build a Silverlight control on Enterprise Portal. To do this, what I'm going to do is we are basically going to look at the chart control. So I'm not going to create the actual Silverlight control, but I'm going to just show you, you know, how you could basically use a Silverlight control. So there are a couple of aspects to when you're using a Silverlight control. One, you know, first you need to go and create your XAML or XAP file. And then once you have the XAP or the Silverlight application, then you can basically use that into Enterprise Portal. So I'm going to just show you the Silverlight chart control that I built. And then, you know, I'll show you how you could use that into Enterprise Portal. So there are three aspects when it comes to Silverlight. One is the app.xaml file. This is the application file, you know, which holds all your application level settings. one of the events up there is called an application startup. Now, what this allows you to do is basically, you know, look at if there are any parameters that are being passed into this solution or this application, and then, you know, add those parameters to resources so that I can use this when into my Silverlight application. So in this case, you know, because we're going to pass the parameters from Dynamics AX, I'm just picking all the init parameters, I'm looping over the init parameters, and then I'm adding those two resources in form of, you know, key value pair collection. So that's the only code that I have on application.xaml.cs. Let's look at the page.xaml. There's nothing in here because I'm doing everything from code behind, so I don't have anything in here. Let's look at the page.xaml. Now, to do the chart control, what I did was I'm using a third-party Silverlight control. Again, you know, the Silverlight application itself is outside of Enterprise Portal. You know, it's the standard way of doing any Silverlight control. That's the reason I'm not doing this as a demo. I'm just walking you through the code. You could easily find any, there are lots of references out there that would allow, show you know, how you can create a Silverlight application. What I'm doing to here is I'm using the Visifier chart controls. Visifier chart controls are freely available on Microsoft's www.codeplex.com site. So this is Microsoft's open source site that hosts all the open source controls. One of them is the Visifier chart control. So I'm just using that. What I'm doing here is on the page loaded event, I'm just walking through all the parameters that I picked up on application.startup. So I'm passing four parameters in here. The first, you know, basically we want to show two series. So for each series, I'm passing the value and the label. For second series, I'm passing the value and the label. So I'm just picking those four parameters into local variables and then calling this create chart, which is again a private method. In the create chart method, I create a new chart, set the width and the height. I create two data points or two data series. And for each data series, I'm setting, you know, for the first one, I'm setting it as first column, as the Y value, and the label as the X label or the X axis label. Same thing for second series, I'm doing Y value equals to second column and second column label. I'm also setting the tooltip so it shows some value on the tooltip. I'm creating a legion collection and I'm adding a new legion so that I have some legion shown on the chart. At the end, I have the chart shown as 3D equals to true. And then I'm adding the series to the chart and I'm adding the legions to the chart. And then I'm adding the chart to the overall layout of the shape of the Silverlight application. Once you compile this, what happens is when you compile a Silverlight application, it creates a zap file. It's called xap.zap file. To use a zap file in SharePoint for that matter, what you need to do is you need to copy that to a client bin folder onto your root directory where your enterprise portal is deployed. So I've just copied Silverlight chart.zap file. I'm going to use this zap file into my user control. So let's see how you can create a user control. So let's go ahead and create a new user control. I'm going to use the same template. I'm going to name it AP Dev Webinar UC3. To use Silverlight onto your project, you need to add a reference. So let me go ahead and add a new reference. You need to add a reference to system.web.silverlight.dll so that you could use the Silverlight control into Visual Studio. So let me go down to system.web.silverlight. I'm just going to add this. So I've just added a reference to Silverlight DLL. Now what I need to do is I need to... Now since we had already built our infrastructure to get the total orders and the open sales orders, we don't have to do anything on the data set. We're just going to use those two methods. But this time we're going to render it using Silverlight instead of the standard Microsoft chart control. To do this, first thing I need to register the Silverlight.NET assembly. So let me go ahead and register that. Same thing, and I'm just registering this system.web.silverlight assembly and I'm using ASP as the tag. Again, you know, since we are pulling data out of Dynamics AX, I need AX data source. Let me go and drop an AX data source. Let me go and connect it to EP Dev Webinar. I need a form control to host the Silverlight control. So let me go ahead and drop a form control. I'm going to set it to AX data source. I'm going to set the member to current. I'm going to set the data key names. And the form control, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and add the Silverlight control. So let me copy the script. So out here, what I'm doing is I'm just adding ASP.NET or the standard Silverlight control. I'm going to name it as ID chart 1 and the sources to the ZAP file. So basically what this does is that you already have a Silverlight application. I'm just going to host it into a container. So this Silverlight ASP:// Silverlight is just a container to host your Silverlight application. So let's save this. I'm going to do everything on the code behind. So let me go to the code behind and show you what the control or code is. I'm just going to use some using statements so that I can access the Silverlight and the Dynamics AX libraries. And on the page init, what I've done is I've just registered or subscribed to the pre-render event. So on the pre-render event, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the current row. The way I get the current row is I go to the data source. I say get data source view, which will give me the current view. And then I say I'm going to get current. So this will give me the current record on the current record I'm working on the data set. Using the current record, I'm just saying get field and I'm passing open sales orders and total orders. And I'm just converting these two strings so that you know it's easier to pass as parameters. Then I construct a parameter string in the first column equals to value, first column label equals to open orders, second column equals to value, and second column label equals to total orders. And I then pass this into my chart control. So that is you know how you would normally use a Silverlight control. You would build your Silverlight application and then tie it to Dynamics AX using parameters. So let's save this. Let's go and edit this page. I'm going to add a control to this page itself so that we can see now how both these chart controls render. Let's go ahead and add it to Dynamics user control web part. Let's modify this and pick the newly created user control. I think I didn't save that one, so let me go ahead and add it to AOT. I forgot to add this one to AOT. Let's save this back. Let me close this and reopen the property pane and pick AP Dev Webinar UC31. Again, you know, since I'm going to be consuming the context, I'm going to set it as consumer. Let's say OK. And then I'm going to set the connection so that I pass the context. Let me go out of the exit mode. Let me do a reload this page. Now you see is, you know, you have the Silverlight control, which has a rich visualization. And you would see that, you know, how the bars basically grow up. And then you have the chart control. And all these controls are basically connected to one another so that, you know, you could pass the context from the list page onto the or the list web part onto your connected web parts. So the fifth demo was, you know, how we could do a Silverlight control and then, you know, basically connect those two Dynamics AX data. So the last one that I'm going to do is, demo that I'm going to do today is to show you know how you could easily build a EP form, you know, a form control that shows some data out of a customer table. So let's see you know, how we could build a view only form first, and then we'll try to move it into insert or edit mode. To do that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and add a new user control. So let's go and create a new user control. Let's call it HTTP dev webinar 4 or UC4. Let's go and add it to EOT so that I don't forget to adding it to EOT. Since we are going to pull out of data out of AX, AX data source talks to the same data set that we created, EP dev webinar. I'm going to add a form control because I want to show some form. To this, I'm going to connect it to the AX data source. Let's go ahead and set the properties on these. I'm going to add a multi-section, and then in this I'm going to add sections. So what normally sections do is basically they allow you basically sections provide you a collapsible control onto your form. So you could have some fields that are listed under a section, and then you could basically, you know, collapse or expand a particular section on a form. So let's save this. I'm going to add a group, one group to each of these. So let me go and drop a group to the sections. And this group, I'm going to add actual fields. So let's go to the fields collection. Let me go and add a couple of fields. I'm going to add account num, name, phone number, invoice amount or account, and let's say I'm going to add employee ID as well. Let's make sure that, you know, the, so what you have now is under the group one, I've added account num, name, phone, invoice account and employee ID. On this group, I want to add a field group. So let's see now how I can use a field group on the group 2. I'm going to go and add. So in the bound field designer, you'd see that there's something called as bound field groups. So I'm going to use address. So at runtime, you'd see that, you know, there's let me just copy over it. So at design time, you'd see that, you know, I have a single field group, but at runtime, basically what the framework is going to do is basically going to explode this into multiple fields. So address has been defined as a collection of 6 fields in the AOT. At runtime, you'd see that, you know, there are 6 fields that are shown, but design time I only have 1. So you get all the benefits of field groups still in enterprise portal. So let's save this. We have already added it to AOT and we have saved it. Let's go ahead and create a new page. Webpod page, let's call it EP dev webinar page 2. Let's overwrite if we already had one. And then go and add a new webpod. Again, since the user control, we're going to add the Dynamics user control webpod. Now, as I said, you know, I think, you know, I didn't talk about this, but there are a bunch of webpods that you could use. So there's a business overview web part, there's a queue web part, the infolog web part, left navigation, page title, there's the report server web part, the toolbar web part and all. So all of these web parts are basically available for you to use in enterprise portal. Let's go and modify this. Let's go and pick the newly created user control, AP dev webinar UC4, and then let's see how that renders. So basically what you have is you have the edit only or view only mode of the form. So as you see, you know, the sections allow you to collapse individual sections. But in design mode, we had a single field or field group, but at runtime, basically it exploded into multiple fields. So let's see, you know, how we could easily make this in edit mode. So let's go to the form. And then let's set the mode, default mode equals to insert. Let me set it to insert. Let's see how that renders. You'd see that. I didn't save it. Let's save this and do a refresh. So now you have the form in the edit mode. The last thing I'm going to do in this demo is, you know, basically I showed you, you know, how you could easily create a view only mode or an insert or edit mode. What I want to do is, by default, I want to set the employee ID to the logged in user's employee ID, so that the user doesn't have to type it, you know, just to showcase, you know, how you could do some defaulting onto a form. So it's pretty easy to do. What you need to do is you have to go to the data source, the Custable data source, and then say under methods override init value. In the init value, what you do is basically just copy this method from here. What you're saying is, for the current employee ID of the current record, just query, use the sysquery util range or range util class, and that get the current employee ID, and then set that employee ID as the default value. So let's save this. You could go ahead and do some other defaulting as well, but I'm just going to showcase one. Again, since we are making a change to a data set, you need to do a refresh AOD. Let's relaunch this page. There you go. So basically now, I was able to quickly default employee to the employee ID of the logged in user. So as you see, you know, there are limitless options that you have with Enterprise Portal. You know, there is no limitation of what you can do with Enterprise Portal. Again, you know, before I end, I just want to make a statement saying that if you can build an app or functionality with standard ASP.NET, you should be able to do the Enterprise Portal. There's no stopping you. There's no limitation in terms of you know, controls that you can use or libraries that you can access, or whether it's the out-of-box controls, the standard controls, or for that matter, third-party controls. So let me quickly move back to the presentation to see if there's anything that I've missed. Yeah, so that was last. So let me quickly go over again the demos that we did. The first demo we did was show customer information on Enterprise Portal. We didn't write a single line of code, but we were able to bring customer information onto the page. We did some custom filtering. Though EP provides the out-of-box experience, I just want to show how you could do a custom filtering. We then went and did some demo around usage of template fields and custom bound fields to show or change the UI representation. Then we use the standard ASP.NET chart control to showcase how we can bind a standard control to Dynamics AX. Then we did Silverlight chart control to see, you know, how you could improve on your data visualizations. And finally, we did the create form. So basically, that brings us to the end of today's webinar. If you have any questions, do let me know. Send me an email at divakarb@microsoft.com. I'm going to upload this presentation on Channel 9 as well as on to the blog. I've already uploaded the presentation deck onto EP Team blog, so you can take a look at the deck as well. Thanks a lot, and hopefully, you know, this was an helpful and this was an helpful session for you, and you would basically go ahead and build really rich web applications on Enterprise Portal. Thank you.